All right. One of the things that I enjoy most about singing around the campfire, and I'm sure you do too, is hearing the voices, right? It was beautiful to hear your voices, especially in that last song. And I want to say a special thank you to our worship team for setting the scene this morning. Kind of felt like gathering around the campfire, right? It was pretty nice. And I want to say a special thank you to our students as well who were on the trip. If you see anyone today wearing a green t-shirt like this, whether they were up here or not, or Rivers, that's okay. Feel free to pull them aside after the service and say, tell me some more stories about the trip, because there's lots of stories yet to be told from this experience. And it was just an awesome experience. Now, I want you to think about some of your past experiences. Maybe it was a camping trip. Maybe it was a journey that you went on. How many of you like going on road trips? We are a road trip family, Terry and Gary and myself. In fact, we're so much a road trip family that at 3 weeks old, we decided we'd put them in the car and take them all the way down to Kentucky. I don't know if that was the smartest thing in the world, but we are so much a road trip family that we took a trip down to Lexington. Now, Lexington holds a special place in my heart, which I'm going to share a little bit about here in just a few moments. But think about some of the road trips that you've been on, or some of the journeys, maybe some of the camping trips. When you go on the trips again, how many of you have mental notes of the places that you've been, the experiences that you've had, and you can say, over here is where we always stop and eat on the way. And over here is the place, like when I was at camp, this is where the big counselors always shot me off on the blob into the lake. It could be a good or bad experience. And maybe if you're on a road trip, here's the place that we always get together with family, or here's the place that we first went fishing, maybe with my grandpa or something like that. And so you think about the trips that you've been on, the places that you return to, and usually there's mental notes that you make of significant experiences along the way. And I want to share a little bit about a place to return this morning, especially with the story with Peter. I bet if we were to go back to the Red River Gorge in Kentucky with our students and go on the same trail that we went, I bet we could probably say along the way, here's the spot where we started our trip and where the vans got broken into. Here's the spot where we had to climb this huge mountain. Or at least it felt that way. Here's the spot where you saw in the video earlier where we jumped off this big rock, some of you taking a big risk and jumping. It's fast. It's bigger than what you think. Jumping into that water at Jump Rock. Here's the spot where our last night we got together and we had a campfire and we shared encouragements and some of the things that you heard in the testimonies with one another. This is the way that you showed me hospitality, and I really appreciate you. And if we were to go on that trail back through the gorge, we could say, here are the spots, here are the benchmarks. And I almost wonder if the story in John chapter 21 today, the story of Peter, isn't somewhat similar to these stories. So if you look at your Bibles at John chapter 21, the very first verse, what does it say? Let's set the scene a little bit, kind of like we set the campfire scene up here. Let's set the scene of the story. What's happening? It says, after Jesus appeared to his disciples. Now, Jesus appears to disciples a lot in Scripture, but this is significant because Jesus has just risen from the dead. No small thing, right? Jesus has died, has come back to life, and he has just appeared to the disciples. In fact, he's even gone through walls and locked doors to see his disciples, and has said, I give you the Holy Spirit. And then after that, you can imagine the disciples either sitting around a campfire or around the table looking at each other, kind of twiddling their thumbs and saying, look at Peter, because he's kind of the leader of the group, and he says, I'm going fishing. Isn't that kind of strange? Why would you go fishing? The Son of God just came back to life. He came and visited you, and I don't know really what to do, so let's go fishing. And the disciples said, well, we'll go with you. Why do you think that they went back to go fishing? Why do you think Peter went back? Maybe it was a place where Peter had some good memories. So if you go back to the beginning of Peter's life, the place where Peter started was a fisherman. He was a part of a fisherman's family. His family fished, and probably all of his earliest memories came on a boat, getting fish, and maybe that's what he was used to. Maybe for Peter it was a place of familiarity. How many times when you've gone through a traumatic experience, whether it was good or bad, whatever, a major life experience, your first reaction is to go to something that you're most familiar with because it kind of levels the waters. It kind of settles things down. I know for me, if I just need to settle myself down, I tell Terry, I need to go for a run, and I'm gone. So what are those things for you that you return to that are places of comfort, places that are familiar? And I wonder if Peter went back because of that. And as I was reading the story, another thought came to mind. What if Peter went back fishing because this was the place where he first encountered God? If you have your Bibles, you can keep your thumb in John 21, but look back at Luke chapter 5, the Gospel of Luke chapter 5. I'm going to rewind a little bit to the beginning of Peter's story, his interactions with Jesus, his calling. I'm going to tell this story in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I want you to think about, does this story sound familiar to the story today? Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. So were James and John, sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, they left their nets, and they followed him. Does that story sound familiar to the story in John chapter 21? The disciples are fishing all night long, and someone shows up 100 yards away and says, "Hey, why don't you cast your nets to the other side of the boat?" Why do we go back? Why do we go back to the places of significance in our lives? Maybe they're physical places, places that you could drive to, that you could fly to. Maybe they are places we go back to only in our memory because of the people. Maybe they were your God encounters. And when I say God encounter, I mean not that God is not always here, always with us, but those moments that we are just keenly aware that he is looking right at us or speaking directly to us. Why do we go back? I can share a little bit, some good memories for me. Peter had his origin in fishing. I remember that there's this trail in Columbia City, Indiana called Morsch's Park Trails, and it was the place where I fell in love with running. And not because of the fact that I just decided one day, hey, I'm going to go run this trail. I had a friend, his name was Matt Ingalls, and he introduced me to running. I hated it at first, by the way. But because he not only invested in me in running, he also invested in me as a person, I really looked up to him. He was my best friend in high school and is now a pastor in Oregon. So that's a place of origin for me. Another place that I would say, like I shared earlier, would be Lexington. Lexington, Kentucky. Not only did I go to college down in Asbury, but the church there was kind of like, if you think about the Apostle Paul, he went back to a church called Antioch, because that was the place where they prayed over him and they sent him out on his missionary journey. I kind of joke with the people of Lexington, the church there. I say, "This is my Antioch, because this is the place where you prayed for me before I moved to Alma." And so there are places that I go back to, good memories, and also places that are significant because they are where I feel like God began some things. What are some good memories for you, some places of origin? What are some places that you go back to that are places of safety? Maybe another reason we go back. Places of comfort. Places where you go when you have a problem or when you're homesick? What are some of those places for you? The number one place for me that I go back to if I need a place of safety and comfort, besides my own home with my family, is my parents' house in Indiana, because that's the place where we can take our family and we can go and we can rest and we can be encouraged and we can just be. So maybe there's places like that. I hope there's places like that for you where you can just go and be, even if it's just solo time. What about God encounters? Are there ever places that you go back to where you encountered God? Kind of like Josh, you had shared some ways that, and our students had shared ways that you encountered God on that trip. Are there places that you go back to where God, I guess the better way to say where God encountered you? One place that I would go back to is the old youth room at my church that I grew up in. It's now classrooms. They're Sunday school classrooms, so I'm a little sad. But when I walk into the furnace room, I can still see the old cinder block where we spray painted. They allowed us to do this, where we spray painted all the decorations and things like that. So there's one room in the furnace room that's still the old cinder block. Not because of the cinder block, but because that was the place where my youth pastor washed my feet. And it was a significant place. Another place is if you go to the Orlando Conference Center right by SeaWorld. It's a cool conference center, but that's the place where I sat and gave my life to following Jesus Christ and not just depending on him to get me into heaven. I decided I wanted to give my life to following him. So what are the places that you return to for whatever reason? And why do you go back to those places? Physical places, places of memory? Here's where I believe not only the trip, but in studying this story even, where I feel like God has turned a page for me. Think about the places you return to, and not necessarily what you were doing or where you were, but who was there. Because it's who was there that makes all the difference, doesn't it? Who was there, if you take the people away, even if it was just you and God, if you take God out of the picture or the people out of the picture, then it's just maybe a beautiful place, right? Or a good place. So think of the places you return to and think of who was there. Not only the people, but God himself. I believe that God is always there. And I believe that there are just some times that we happen to be more aware of him. Would you agree? God's always there, but maybe there's times we're just more aware of him. And I think the more aware of God that we become, the more that we can trust him in the places that we are now. So for instance, we can trust him in the physical places we are now, our jobs, our families, our financial situations. If I could trust God then, can I trust God now? I also think that we can trust him in the making of new memories. For some of us, we hold on to the memories, and I know that I'm one of those, that I can hold on to memories of days gone by, the glory days, the days when I didn't gain so much weight when we had a kid, and, you know, the glory days. So the glory days and the things that we hold on to, if we trust God for the good memories, the people that are part of our lives, can we trust God with the people that he will teach us to love, with the people that he will bring into our lives? Can God give us even more memories? And then, the last reason we go back, the God encounters, the places where we're aware of God, do we believe that God is not finished with us yet? Do we believe that he defines the God encounters? Think about those times when you felt really close to God. Who arranged the meeting? Was it you? It was never me. God always not only arranged the meeting, but how he showed up was totally up to him. And I think that God does it differently every time, on purpose a lot of times, because he wants us to trust in him. Remember, as some of us have heard, God wants to consume us rather than the other way around. And so when we go back, if we think about who was there, especially God, then we can trust him in the places, the journeys that we go on now. Now, I believe that God is good, and one way that he shows that he's good is he allows us to go back to some of these places. Peter and the disciples went fishing, and Jesus met them on the beach. If you get a chance this week and you want a place to do some reading in Scripture, keep reading the story where we stopped. and read about the encounter that Peter has with Jesus after they get back to the beach. But think about the places you go back to. I think God sometimes allows us to go back so that we can hear him speak to us, so that he can empower us for the journey in some way. Jesus met Peter on the beach. Where would he meet you? This is where I'm going to ask you to use your imaginations a little bit. Something that we call imagination prayer, and we did this on the trip with one of our devotional times in the morning. And it's very simple. There's nothing magical about this prayer or super spiritual. It's just a time for you to meet with God and talk with God. And maybe he has something he wants to say to each of us this morning. So I'm going to invite you to do something. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And again, there's no really right or wrong way to do this other than I'm going to kind of set the scene for you. So if you close your eyes, now you choose the setting. Whether it's a place of beauty, a place of memory, a place of significance, if you could be anywhere in the world right now, where would you be? And imagine yourself taking a seat where you are. Who's with you? Is there anyone sitting beside you? What do you see? But not only that, what do you feel? Do you hear anything? Can you smell anything? Take in your surroundings where you are. Now, as you rest in this place, imagine that Jesus himself comes to sit with you. How does he arrive? What does he look like? What does he say? What conversation do you have? Spend just a few more moments together, even if it's in complete silence. Now I want to invite you to open your eyes. This morning's message has no agenda other than what we've just done. What is God's invitation to you this morning? What is his word of challenge or encouragement to you today? Maybe affirmation or assurance. I'd be curious, but you don't have to tell me where it was that you sat with Jesus this morning or the conversation that you had. As the worship team comes back up, I'm going to invite the worship team one more time. I want to invite you as they come and as we sing, if you need some time to just sit and to be still and to continue thinking about this conversation, I want to invite you to do that. If you would like to stand and sing and rejoice, and this is an amazing song that we are familiar with, I invite you to sing or to sit or to stand. Whatever you need to do, my only question for today is, where is Jesus meeting you, and what is his invitation?